Welcome, everyone, to Fireside Yankees. I'm Ryan Garcia, and joining us is Chris Drew. We placed Sam on the injured list. He's not actually injured. He's just at the beaches, but he is temporarily inactive. We've moved Chris from FSB to FSY for today, and Chris, we're happy to have you, man. How we feeling? How we doing?
Dude, good. You know, it always feels good when I get the call up. It's always a good time doing shows with you. Our streak has been broken. Now we might be on a losing streak. Usually I've been doing these shows with you, Ryan, like after it's wins, a lot of wins. And today was not that. While the large part of the day was very frustrating to watch, like kind of, you know, at the end, maybe breathe a little bit of life and maybe they can get this done. And I was like, okay, like, you know, the Yankees must have found out that me and Ryan are doing a pod today and want to get us back kind of in the on the winning side of things. Not how things went, but I am excited to talk about Yankee baseball. I'm excited to talk about a Yankee series with a guy who I consider the best in the biz. So how are you, Ryan?
You know, I'm hanging in there. I can't complain. Obviously not an ideal series. The Yankees dropped 2 of 3 in San Diego. The offense wasn't great in the two losses, although the third game, they kind of made it a little bit interesting. They brought the tying run to the plate, or they had the go-ahead run at the plate in the ninth. They had the go-ahead run at the plate in the eighth as well after trailing for 4-0. And I'll be honest, like, this is both a very frustrating series, but also not a series where I was like, man, they just, what an embarrassment. Like, I feel like it's weird. It's like the closer the series is, the more frustrating it is, even if it's not as embarrassing. I don't know if I'm making any sense here, but like, I want to start with Friday real quick. They dropped that game 3-2. They get walked off. They had the 2-1 lead in extras. Walker Buehler gave up 1 run in 5 innings. It's 2026.
That's the most frustrating. Honestly, the most, we can all agree, like, the most frustrating thing as a fan is when pitchers that we know should not dominate against you, like, carve it up. Like, making guys like Walker Buehler look like a legit 1 or 2 is really frustrating, especially, like, you're supposed to tattoo these guys. I mean, I believe that, like, Shane Bieber had a good outing against us, too, and, like, current state Shane Bieber is not very good. Current state Walker Buehler should not have put up an outing with 1 run against the Yankees. So those, like, kicking off a series with that kind of game, to me, is like, oh my God, this is what we're doing, guys, is kind of what it feels like. And I know, look, baseball's hard. We're still talking about 90s. We're still talking about, like, you know, hitting a baseball is really hard. But to see pitchers like that, who we both believe can't hold a candle to our guys, to see them beat our guys is frustrating, especially when it's in that kind of fashion.
The Yankees don't have a ton of game power going for them right now while not making a lot of contact. And I thought it reared its head in this series where they had a lot of opportunities. Even in the game they won on Saturday, they could have put the Padres away. And I'm not complaining about the way they won the game. I'm just saying they had a lot of instances where they could have punched the Padres, delivered that classic 3-run home run or a grand slam, which they haven't hit all year. And it's like, man, where is it? Where's the power? Where is that big drive? And without those big swings, you're going to have a hard time winning in the postseason while also struggling with the skills of contact and on-base ability, which they've struggled with throughout the year. So, Chris, I just don't know what to say with this offense at this point. It's just, hey, Aaron Judge, please come back, right? Is that really it?
It's like, hey, Aaron Judge, like, please come back. Because even when they've, like, kind of had their quote-unquote offensive explosions, it feels like it's like, okay, traffic on the bases, single. Traffic on the bases, single. Like, there absolutely is an absence of power, which it kind of makes it frustrating down the stretch, I think. Because, like, there's times where, like, seventh inning, you would love a guy to have a one-swing, like, change-a-game type thing. And it's funny you brought this up. It makes me feel like I'm kind of losing my touch, Ryan. I don't know how you feel about this. But there's a couple times, like, in this series where I thought our guy, because we're not seeing home runs the way we're used to seeing, a couple times guys made hard contact, and I thought, oh, that's way out of here. Like, mm-hmm. from our standpoint, just for it to be something caught in front of the warning track. Like, today, for example, like, I feel like I've been, it's such an absence of power. I saw Spencer Jones pull one in the air early on against Michael King, and I thought, oh my God, like, that's a home run, that's out of here. And then you see Tatis nowhere near the warning track. And so, like, I feel like, am I losing my touch, or does any solid contact feel like, oh my God, it's got to get out of here because we're just missing the long ball?
I think the Bellinger one got me too, with bases loaded. That one got me a little bit. That one I was less convinced of, but the Jones one, I was like, that's way gone. Like, that looked like, at least, at the very least, it was going to take a remarkable baseball play for him to bring it back. Like, if you showed me it on the MLB Game Day app as a flyout, I'd be like, oh, okay. Probably, Tatis probably robbed it, which Tatis is a great defensive outfielder. It's in his calling card to do so, or maybe it was towards the gap and he made a great play, whatever it may be. I was stunned. It was a caught fly ball that, as you mentioned, didn't like threaten to leave the yard, really. It's not like it was right at the edge of the wall. So that was weird. It was just a weird series where they just couldn't get the long ball going, and a weird trend that's formed over the last 3 months where the team hasn't consistently hit for power.
What's your concern level with this trend as the playoffs get near? Because I don't know what your belief is, but I'm a big believer in like one swing changing game power up and down your lineup is super important, especially in October when every swing feels like it's an opportunity swing. Because like, what do you face in the postseason? You face better pitchers. When you face better pitchers, what do you get less of? Hits. So you want the hits to be real damage hits. And when you get to the postseason, like there's a shortened, you know, starter leash. Obviously, like teams, you're not going to see a team's 4 or 5 starter 9 times out of 10. And also, you're only going to see about a quarter of the bullpen. So it's like you want guys that are really doing damage. And so, you know, you go through this and we're talking about like the power in the ISO. But like, what is Ryan Garcia's concern level with this right now? Or do you think it is still a small enough sample size? Or do you think that maybe once Aaron Judge is back and guys are seeing more fastballs before him and after him, things change? And in particular, like a guy with like maybe, I mean, no, Ben Rice has been hitting the ball pretty hard still. But you see other guys near the bottom of the lineup see fastballs to avoid the turning over of the lineup. I guess, like, again, all that to say, like, what is Ryan Garcia's concern level? Because that's what we're here to kind of assess.
Yeah, I think my concern meter with this offense at this stage of the season, where we're at in the season, we just don't have a lot of runway left. I think it's like an 8 right now. And I want to clarify what I mean by concern meter. This is in regard to their ability to like get hot in the postseason, just kind of go, right? Getting hot for them in the postseason is going to look like a 110, 115 WRC plus offense, which is like best offense in baseball some years. Some years it's the second or third best. Some years it's the fourth best. Whereas last year, if they had gotten hot in the postseason, it would have looked like what the 2025 Blue Jays did, which was just hit a billion home runs. You know, you just can't get them out. They score a million runs a game. They're unstoppable. You put runners on, they're a threat to take the lead, this, that, and the third. This team doesn't have that same explosiveness to it, and that's a concern, man. It is, and it's weird because when I look at the lineup, I don't feel like that should be the case. When I look at the, like, if you told me going into the year, all right, my lineup's going to have this version of Luis Garcia Jr., Aaron Judge, Ben Rice, Cody Bellinger, Jazz Chisholm, you know, Trent Grisham's going to fall off and get hurt, but Spencer Jones is going to be a pretty good hitter, all things considered. I would go, okay, at least that part of my lineup, I'm getting home runs there. Like those, if I have runners on for those guys, I'm getting runners across, whether it's a double or a home run, they're going to have the power to drive them. And it's just not the case. Like I know Judge hasn't been there, and maybe the thing I'm clinging on to hope for, which I've expressed as a thing that wouldn't be entirely great, but would be better than what they're currently in right now, is maybe they just can't hit without Judge. Maybe they're just like, I genuinely hate doing this kind of rationale. Maybe they just like they're not, they don't feel like they're protected. They don't feel like they have, you know, their guy there. Like, it would bother me to no end if that was a real thing, because what do you mean that you're mentally rattled playing like the Cardinals in August because Aaron Judge isn't there? Like that's concerning, but it's also better than where they are right now. You know what I mean? Like I really, that's my one hope. That's why it's not a 10, because Aaron Judge isn't back yet.
Question. If Aaron Judge is on deck to Ben Rice, does Ben Rice get 5 straight sliders thrown to him?
You know, I will say, I think,
come on, Ryan. I think it's a pretty easy no, right?
You're like, right. Yeah.
There is no way Mason Miller throws a 3-2 slider to Ben Rice.
No, you're
with
right.
Aaron Judge on deck.
Yeah. You and I know pitching.
You and I know baseball. There's no shot that happens. Now, the mental side of it, I mean, I praying that's not the case, but the practical side of it, as in like, okay, like, Ben Rice is a great what? A great fastball hitter. Like, that's well documented. Likely the best fastball hitter in the entire sport. Or at least one of them. Well, I mean, definitely amongst first basemen. Great fastball hitter. He's getting a fastball 3-2 if Aaron Judge is on deck. Now, the rest of it, like, guys that, you know, have played and been good hitters without Aaron Judge, like Jazz Chisholm, I mean, was still a good enough hitter and above league average hitter with the Marlins. There was no Aaron Judge there. Like, Spencer Jones has played with Aaron Judge for about one cup of coffee. I think, just the Miz outing, and that outing no one can hit because no one can hit Miz, period. But there's enough guys. I mean, Luis Garcia has never played with Judge.
What you said also got me thinking about the right-handed batter behind Ben Rice, where the right-handed hitter behind Ben Rice has either been Paul Goldschmidt or Elliot Ramos, usually speaking. Those guys are not good at hitting righties. So against righties, what you're going to do as a pitcher is you're going to attack Ben Rice, or even, honestly, be comfortable walking him. You can attack Ben Rice, you can be comfortable walking him. If it's Paul Goldschmidt on deck, you just walk him.
Mm-hmm.
You just walk him. Mm-hmm. Bellinger was behind Rice today, and I thought King walked him in, not intentionally, but was like, all right, okay, I could throw like the 3-2 give-in pitch to Rice, or I could throw it to Bellinger. Bellinger hasn't hit for a lot of power this year, so, like, you know, odds are if I give him the hanging breaking ball, he might hit a single, but that's not going to lose me the baseball game. The home run ball will. If I throw that breaking ball to Rice, that nips if I throw that breaking ball to Rice that catches too much of the zone, it's a three-run home run. This game's tied. And I think that might have been in his head, too. I think Ben Rice is a great hitter. Like, I don't think he's a Judge hitter, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the guy behind him is usually not a guy you really have to worry about or think about at all. So I guess that is, like, again, that's the two. That's the 2 points I'm removing off the board. Maybe you've talked me into a seven. I'll make it 3 points off the board.
Okay. Bang.
Where are you at? I'm at a seven. Where are you at?
My concern level relies on what Judge's timing looks like when he gets back. My concern level is probably at a six, because I think that Luis Garcia is really capable of getting hot pretty quickly. I think that Jazz Chisholm is a lot closer to turning the page and being hot in the playoffs than I think a lot of people do. I mean, his WRC plus is all the way back up to 100. He had the opposite field home run, which I think didn't get enough talk, how disgusting of a job that was to kind of get that pitch out. And I think because guys are capable of power, and like just separately, I'm anticipating Spencer Jones more power to come in for him, like more home run power to come in for him. And I don't know how you feel. I mean, obviously, we talk about the strikeouts he had, but in this series in particular, it looked like he was seeing the ball better than I had seen since he came up either time. Today in particular. Not just today. Like, against Mason Miller, like, doing a great job, bat on ball like that. Like, Mason, like, here we go. 7 months ago, when Spencer Jones in the minors, and if I called you and was like, hey, like, you know, I'm, you know, having a That's So Raven moment, what do you think it's going to look like the first time Mason Miller faces Spencer Jones? You looked at me and said, well, that's a coughing baby versus a hydrogen bomb.
Like Joey Gallo versus Edwin Diaz.
Yeah, bingo. Like something that's not supposed to even, it's supposed to get ugly and we're just going to move on. Or, I mean, like Miz's first time against Spencer Jones. Spencer Jones took 3 swings first time he played Miz, and the helmet came off on all 3, and he was probably closer to hitting the helmet than he was the baseball. So when we have like the strikeout happy series from Spencer Jones, and then we get into this, and you see him square up a ball from him, square up a couple balls from Michael King, and then square up a ball against Morhone. Like, because he's seeing the ball better, I think my concern level isn't a 7 or an 8. Now, can he replace Aaron Judge? Absolutely not. But I am anticipating the more he looks comfortable, the more the home run power will come in. Because one of the things that we really haven't seen yet from him is true Midas touch power. We're talking about somebody who looks like he mishits a ton in AAA and would lift balls out opposite field. We're talking about a guy who like really isn't pulling the ball at an exceptional clip right now. That once the better you see the ball, the more likely you are to pull the ball. So I think my concern level, because the power is readily available, it's not like I'm a Guardians fan and I'm going to ask Rocchio to be hot for 2 months and hit a bunch of home runs, right? Like, it's not like that's my requirement, but because there is the ridiculous power, at some point, I think it will click for not all the guys, but enough of the guys for it to be an intimidating lineup, like top to bottom, I guess.
Their power upside is there. Like, it's there. Mm-hmm. It hasn't played out the way that it should play out, I think. And what I'll also add, because I got added in this tweet, and I'm going to respond to it on Twitter, because I think it's a compelling question. And I'm going to ask you this question as well. You know, the tweet was basically like, it was, let me get the exact wording. I'm sorry. I do apologize. It's from Michael Kasten, where he was like, if anyone who's watched the 2026 Yankees play baseball season has any confidence in this team in the playoffs, I'd honestly love to hear why. Hmm. And my response to that was going to be something along the lines of, and I don't know if you agree or disagree, I've watched the Yankees play every day. And so I am so in touch with what is wrong and what is right. I've watched enough Red Sox and Rays baseball to know what's wrong and right with them. I don't consider the AL West or the AL Central to have any credible threats to win the World Series. And I look at the Rays and the Red Sox, and I just don't think their flaws are less damaging than the Yankees' flaws, if that makes sense. I think all of these teams are basically in the same bubble, and it's a question of, again, who wins the playoffs. I don't know that question. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that question. That's a results thing. We're going to have to just kind of wait. We're just going to have to kind of wait for that one. But I don't think the Rays are more well put together, and I don't think the Red Sox are more well put together. I just think they're all in the same bubble, and in the playoffs, anything kind of happens. That's just MLB postseason.
I mean, Rye, like you gave a longer answer for something that is not complicated at all. It's like read the tweet wrong. Read the tweet, Ryan, and swap out any name in the AL except for the Yankees. Like, if you don't have confidence in the Yankees, I would love to hear who you have confidence in the AL. Like, you've said it. You've watched everybody. It's like the AL generally is like, this year is very weak. If you don't have confidence in the Yankees, my stance is going to be like, oh, you've only watched the Yankees. And not saying that this person doesn't know ball, but who, like, what fan of their team should be really or should feel overwhelmingly confident heading into the postseason? Is there anyone in the AL?
I would even argue the NL. I don't think anyone should be overly confident. Like, I wouldn't. I think the Dodgers, you can say that for.
No, wait.
You just saw your team win.
In the NL, I would not blame a Brewers fan for being confident that much. I wouldn't blame a Dodgers fan for being confident. I wouldn't blame a Cubs fan for being confident. I wouldn't blame a Braves fan for being confident. But it's like, if you want to lump the Yankees in on the AL side,
yeah,
they don't instill any confidence. It's like, well, what AL team do you think instills more confidence than them, I think, is my next question.
Well, I was also going to add, like, the Dodgers have to play a wild card series, potentially. And that, like, in and of itself creates a level of variance. Like, the Dodgers can lose 2 out of 3 games to a team that isn't as good as them. That happens.
Also, baseball's not really a sport where confidence goes a long way because, like, things, like, baseball is weird.
Yeah, again, I just have a hard time giving up on a team that has the second best record in the AL. I just do. And whether that burns me or not, we shall see. I do want to get into a little bit of division stuff because as things stand right now, they're 4 back. They've got, I think, 19 games left in their schedule. They're going home to face Colorado and the Mets for 6 games. Aaron Judge might come back. We don't know when, but he might come back during this homestand. Chris, do you think the Yankees can still win the American League East?
I do, but my confidence is dropping every day. I do, but my confidence is lowering. You would have loved to win this series to kind of feel really good into it, but the fact that it is the Mets and the Rockies and you're going to get the captain back, I mean, isn't that kind of like the recipe for, oh my gosh, like here we come? Like, isn't that the recipe for the don't run tweets from, you know, the faceless Twitter accounts? Like, isn't this the recipe, Ryan? Like, this schedule paired with the best right-handed hitter of all time coming back at the same time, it feels like if the timing is right, which you hope it is, there's no way to really ever know, that they could catch them. And I am curious kind of what the energy is going to be like and if there is going to be like a mental block that gets released once he's back and guys are going to be able to hit again. So I think they can. My confidence is not the highest on it, though. Because, Tampa Bay also just like wins in the most absurd ways every time I turn around.
Yeah, I think if I'm going to be honest, the Yankees have to like sweep this 6-game set. Like you're playing the Rockies and that's like, at the very least, I need 5. If you want me to think you're going to win the division, or not think you're going to, if you want me to think you have a chance, because the Rays are going to have, the Yankees will have to win 4 straight, the Rays will have to lose 4 straight for the Yankees' odds to flip to better than 50%. Because the Yankees won't get the tiebreaker unless they sweep the Rays, which does matter. So, like, they'd have to match each other in win-loss record before the start of that series, in order for the Yankees to flip to a better than 50% chance. So I guess that's the only way I could think they're going to win.
Okay, but, wait to math it.
Yeah, I try, man. I try to work it out of my head. I do. I really do. Even though I'm not great at mental math, I'm really not. I rely so much on pen and paper or an Excel sheet to just like sum this, sum that, multiply this, 90th percentile that. Yeah, a lot of wasted Excel sheets on my computer. Better than trees, I guess. I do. I think though the realistic like way to go about this is, can you win 5 of 6 and can the Rays go 3-3? Because then you gain 2 games, you're 2 back, and they have a series against the A's after that. They play the Braves in Atlanta and then host the Astros. Ideally, they go 2-4 over their stretch. They're not going to go 2-4 over their stretch because that's not them. And because the Braves are throwing they're not getting Chris Sale in that series. They're getting Grant Holmes, Ronaldo Lopez, and Martin Perez. Yeah, man. No, it's just not going to work out the way you want it to. But if they somehow find a way to go 2-4 over that series, over those 6 games, and the Yankees find a way to go 5-1, then you're 1 game back. And that's like, all right. So these are not the likeliest scenarios. That's why they don't have a better than 50% chance to win the division. But it is a scenario. But it all depends on the Yankees being able to actually like win these games. You have to win 5 games in this homestand. I'm sorry. You just do. It's the Rockies and the Mets. It's the Rockies and the Mets. Like that. That's all I have to say. It's the Rockies and the Mets. Find it. You gotta find it, man.
Please find it.
And if they do that, they'll have like, honestly, I think they're going to win the division if that happens. If they pull within one, if they're within 1 game at the start of that Rays-Yankee series, I think they win the division.
Yeah.
Because I think they can take 3 or 4 against the Rays. Okay. That's where I'm at. Okay. Whether they do or don't, we'll see. Is there anything else from this series you want to touch on? I mean, I guess we could talk Garrett Cole. But like, I don't know if there's anything.
Weird outing, huh?
Yeah, weird one. Like, tip of the cap for eating the innings. Like, thank you, but also, like,
not just eating the innings, kind of dominated there for, like, 5 innings in the middle. Or do you not think his stuff looked that good today?
I thought he, like, survived. I thought he was making, like, I think he more so survived than dominated, I think is the word I'd use. I don't think he sucked in that, like, the 2nd to 6th inning. I just didn't think he was, like, killing him, if that makes sense. What I will say is, like, How do you feel about him getting the 7th in the 3-0 game? Like, would you have, like, did you feel it was the wrong decision? Because I didn't hate it. Like, I wasn't upset when he went out there.
I thought he looked really good. So we're kind of on different plateaus with that. I thought he looked good innings 2 on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I get why you feel that way. I just, like, I'm a big, like, I didn't think the punchies were there. I didn't think the swing and miss stuff was there.
I guess, like, he was efficient enough to get to the 7th, I guess.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, like, that's important.
He dealt with the Dominguez like terrible botch in right field and kind of like got the next 3 there. No, I thought he looked good, man. Maybe dominated was the wrong word. Dominated is like save for K's.
Maybe survived was maybe we were too far too polar far opposites separate. And we meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I think I will say I do think that there was like a weird. Like, for some reason, when Garrett Cole does anything wrong, I feel like there's this, like, counter. Like, I don't know if it's just my feed or my algorithm, but I'll get replies like, this guy's a bitch. This guy's a loser. It's like, it's one bad start. Like, it's one start where he was woefully mediocre is the word I would maybe use. Woefully mediocre. And where, again, I feel like he gave the Yankees some momentum for the offense to get back into the game, and they just did it until it was kind of too late. Dude, that's how I looked at it.
It was Tatis homer, Cronenworth homer, Machado homer. That's how he opened up the game. He goes 1-2-3 right afterwards. The next outing, we had the single that led to basically, it acted like a triple because he's on third, retires the next 3. Third inning, retires the next 3. And then the bottom of the 4th, he gave up a single, but only faced 4 in that inning. So it was like he was getting through guys. So yeah, like not a lot of punchies, but like to me it felt a little bit better than surviving because there wasn't a lot of traffic.
Yeah, I think surviving was the wrong word to use there. I think the word to use was he was like cruising. He was just kind of like
cruising. Cruising.
He wasn't flying through the highway. This wasn't you know, just going out there and flying at 90, a smooth 90 on the interstate. He was just middle lane, 65, speed limit 60, and he was just kind of going. One lane the whole way through for like two straight hours.
I mean, after the first, he faced four or less hitters every inning until the seventh.
He needed 84 pitches to get through seven innings, and that was a game where he allowed six hits.
Yeah.
I feel like that doesn't ever happen. Like that, how many times has that happened? Genuinely.
I mean, I think the no walks. I mean the Ryan Garcia stat, like he didn't walk anybody. So like,
which I do appreciate.
Yeah.
Again, I appreciate that he ate innings. It just kind of is like, because they have the off day tomorrow and because they had Hedrick, Blackburn, and Bednar all available today, it's like, it's kind of like, weird. It's like the least impactful time to have done it, but it's not nothing. It's just like, all right, man, it's like, here we go, like, wish you could have done this on a different day, more dire situation.
It's like eight innings, but it's only 83 pitches.
Right, right.
That's the part of it. It's like, usually, here's the thing. When I hear eight innings, I think of like, oh, Will Warren had a rough second inning, and we're gonna make you throw 100 pitches to get through five. You're like, that's to me like
a grind it start.
Yeah, like a grind it start where, hey, you just gotta wear this because we're not trying to blow our bullpen out. Like for this, it's like, well, if he's kind of just cruising, like do you pull him out before the 80 pitch mark? Because he got to the seventh and like with under 80 pitches.
Yeah, and it just, again, in this start, what it felt like happened was that he just kind of left everything up and away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to sit here again and tell you that this is a good start or tell you that, like, it was a bad start. And, like, we're late enough in the year where, like, we're late enough in the season where every game has an added sense of importance because the Yankees have a less than 20% chance of winning the division. And in order for them to hit one of those 15% outcomes, they need something like winning these games that you're not supposed to win or winning these games that you're supposed to win, in a sense. They're a favorite to win today. You're supposed to win that game. So because he didn't, you shave a win off the win projection. That sucks. But on that same note, Gerrit Cole randomly missing with his fastball and slider up and away in the first inning is not something that's going to stick with me into this next start. Now, if the New York Mets light him up like a Christmas tree, okay, we can have a conversation. Like, all right, is he starting game two? Is Max Fried starting game two? But until then, I'm going to just say, take it, throw it away. And it wasn't even that bad of a start. He was just painfully mediocre. If the Yankees cashed in with runners in scoring position where they had Michael King on the ropes in the middle of that game, we're talking about, oh, they took two out of three. Cole wasn't great, but you know, it is what it is. Honestly, he doesn't get the seventh. They would have gone to their bullpen earlier. Like, those are all things that I'm not saying you have to take away the fourth home run because hypothetically he shouldn't have been there. It's just more so, it's not my primary concern. It has not been a recurring concern. And Gerrit Cole allowed more than three runs for the first time since like July.
Yeah.
It's been 2 months. I'll give him one. Can we give him a mulligan? He's allowed a mulligan.
He gets a mulligan. It's funny. I think we even have to say, oh, he gets a mulligan, or like kind of defend it because of how dominant the pitching staff has been as a whole. Like him, Fried, and Cole, and Cam have been so absurdly ridiculous that when they look human for literally 15 minutes, it's like, oh my God, what's happening? Like that's what it was. Yeah. Right. And under, it was 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was unbelievable. It was a five minute
stretch where Gerrit Cole was bad.
And we're one of them. I'm sorry, it was bullshit. Jake Cronenworth has never hit an opposite field home run in his life, and he dinks one off that foul pole off the metal supply building. Oh, I sound so salty, and I am a little salty. Sorry, that I'm gonna admit I'm being a little bit salty. That's just because that is like, really? Are you serious? Like, you guys, your Samad Taylor clanked the ball off his glove against the Rays and knocked it over the fence for a 2-run home run against Mason Miller.
Gross. But
Jake Cronenworth can hit his first ever opposite field home run off the beeping foul pole on a fastball away against Gerrit Cole. Like, screw you guys. It's like, gross. Screw you guys. You guys are assholes. I don't have anything against San Diego or the Padres. I just,
I like the Padres.
I refuse to have a favorite team that aren't the Yankees or
you don't do the favorite NL team.
I have so much hatred in my heart. It pains me when somebody, like when the Rangers won the World Series, I was like, that's cool for them. Yankees ain't gonna fucking World Series, but yeah. Corey Seager's got one with the Rangers already. God, like I'm like, that's unfortunately I'm a little bit of a salty person. And so that's how I interpret it sometimes. Like if the Padres win a World Series, I'll be happy for Tatis, but I'll be like, the Tatis Padres got one and the Yankees when Aaron Judge didn't. Mm-hmm. Damn it. Now, if the Yankees win one with Judge, I think I'll actually, like, I could, like, embrace it a little more. But if I had to pick a team, it'd be the Cubs or the Padres. Those are like the two teams I rock with them. Like, they're cool. Like, those are the two teams that would pain me the least to see them win a World Series, I think.
Yeah, I like
but it would still pain me.
I like the Padres and the Braves a good amount. I think they're both cool.
I have a weird love-hate relationship with the Braves.
Because, I don't, like, here's my thing. I don't let John Smoltz ruin it for me.
He ruined it for me. Yeah, he ruined it for me.
I won't let him ruin it for me because I'm from Atlanta.
That's so fair.
Like John Smoltz being a hater, I will not let it ruin it for me at all.
But he unfortunately he did ruin it for me.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'd ruin it for a lot of Yankees fans. And you know why?
Rightfully so.
Yeah, because the Yankees ruined it for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, that's a great point. That's a great point. He makes it so clear that he's not happy that the Yankees did what they did to him in the 90s.
Another Brave. I'm friends with another Braves pitcher that was on that staff, and he talks about kind of like the conversation in that group chat all the time. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an NL East team I can like. Just kind of where I'm at. Don't like Philly. Don't like the Mets. Mm-hmm. Don't really like the Nationals and the Marlins. I don't like them. Whenever we go down there, they torture us.
Dude,
I hate the Marlins. Dude,
the Brian Cashman, great trade deadline a year ago. Then that Marlins game was literally comedy, dude. Everything about it was
sneaky,
comedy.
Sneaky worst game, the Yankees. Sneaky worst loss of, like, the last 3 years?
Yeah, dude.
Last 2 years. Worst loss the last 3 years is easily either game one or game five of the World Series.
That's fair.
Sorry.
I think regular season. Like, yeah. The Caballero ball under the glove that gets forgotten about. Like, every new reliever that came in getting absolutely tattooed. Taking away one of two Aura Volpe legacy moments.
Stan had a big home run that day. McMahon had the go-ahead single.
Run. He hit the home run with the calm down.
Yeah, dude. That was that
weak stretch where every game Volpe committed an error, he hit a home run.
Yes. Yes. Every single game.
Yeah.
Every single beeping game. Every single. I hated that series so much. It was such,
me too. Such but my bad. We're series. Talking Padres.
No, You know what? We're going to take an ad break. Then we're going to do our Aspen Vodka Player of the Series. We'll do our series preview, look ahead to Colorado, because I know we did touch on that series a little bit, but we'll look ahead and then we'll wrap up. So we'll be right back right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. Right here on Fireside Yankees. This video is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the number one sports pick app in America. It's available in places such as Texas and California, and it is a super seamless and easy app to use. All you have to do is pick player stats, and you can either go more or less. There are also team picks as well. It's a very expansive app. There's a ton of action going on there. And let me show you how easy it is to use the Prize Picks app. We're going to use Garrett Cole at more than 5.5 strikeouts against the Blue Jays. Then we're going to scroll down and Chase Meidroff has played really well as of late. So we're going to take more for four hitter fantasy score. And we're going to finalize this lineup with Shohei Ohtani at over half a hits plus runs plus RBI. Now we can press that finalize lineup button and we can pick between power play or flex play. You get a couple of options here. Flex play gives you a lower max payout, but you can still retain your money if you get two correct plays versus the power play where you risk it for the biscuit. And once we press submit lineup, it's really that simple. It doesn't take a lot of time and it's a super seamless experience. Our friends at Prize Picks made sure to give us an offer to hand out to you guys. And this offer is for first time users. Use the code HMA or the link in our description and get $150 if you win on your first $5 lineup. Again, that's $150 if you win on your first $5 lineup. Play responsibly, play within your means, and tail my picks at Ryan Garcia ESM. Thank you to Prize Picks for sponsoring today's video. Let's get back to the regularly scheduled podcast. And we are back here on Fireside Yankees. I'm Ryan Garcia. That's Chris Drew. And we're going to be crowning our Aspen Vodka Player of the Series. Unfortunately, not after a series win, but we will still hand out awards. And because why not, right? Like, why not? Aspen Vodka, partners of Fireside Yankees. And you can get their drinks, the Bronx Mocktail or the Espresso Martini at Yankee Stadium. They have on their website a way that you can search and see if Aspen Vodka is being sold at a liquor store near you. Drink responsibly. You must be 21 or older. I am 21. Boom. So I'm going to get Aspen Vodka after this game. Boom. Chris, who's your top performing player this series, man?
I'm just going to give it to Spencer Jones in large part because like you passed the test. Yeah. Morejon and Mason Miller are two of the top five receivers, two of the football guy, two of the top five relievers in the sport. And what were we concerned about with you? Velocity and swing and miss. Well, guess what? Morehone and Miller, what do they get? Swing and miss, and they've got velocity. I mean, Morehone now being what, the hardest throwing lefty in the sport currently, which, you know, hats off to him. Just an incredible player. And Spencer Jones, and they weren't cheap ones either. Squares up two of them, both for RBIs, both in big spots. And I am really excited about the continued progression of him. And, you know, while you never want to see anybody injured, I am intrigued at least the chance to see him in center field every single day. So my Spencer Jones love affair continues, and that is my player of the series.
You know, I'll be honest, I think he's the correct answer. Like, I think he's objectively the Aspen Vodka player of the series. I hate doing, like, there are enough players who performed well in a given series, even if they lose the series, where it's like, that's a little bit ambiguous. This one's not ambiguous. It should be Spencer Jones. But I am going to give it to Ben Rice to give a different guy the award. He was on base via hit 6 times, via walk 3 more times. That's 9 times on base in 3 days. Had a stinker today, but the other 2 games, I mean, dude, he's starting to lock back in, which is really important. If he can get hot, which he kind of seems to do every September, or at least he did last year. Sorry, every September, that was a crazy statement. He's playing in 2 major league Septembers. Mm-hmm. But last September, he got really hot towards the end of the year. He hit .316 with a .156 WRC+. Some big home runs down the stretch over that time span. Can you give me one more? Can you give me one more big September? Because if he and Judge are going at the same time, like, those two are so good when they're dialed in. Obviously more so Judge than Rice, because Judge is a 3-time MVP. But when those two are dialed, that's where you can, like, actually just score 6 runs off 2 people.
I mean, what was the end of the year last year? It was Cam Schlittler and Ben Rice getting super hot. And into that postseason, I remember you and I doing every show afterwards. It was like the game against the Orioles where Cam went like 7 scoreless and Ben Rice hit like a home run and a huge double. And then in the postseason, the whole Boston game plan was keep Ben Rice away from me because he was so hot. And he saw one pitch then in game 2, and it was a home run. Like he seems to kind of like sink his teeth in, flex a jaw for these moments. And I thought the ultimate show of respect today, because he had been so good this series, was Mason Miller refusing to give him a fastball.
Yeah.
And it's not like Mason Miller's fastball is one of those fastballs that is like not a weapon of mass destruction. Mason Miller didn't want to give Ben Rice his fastball. Think about how much respect you have to have for how a guy is seeing it, because the Mason Miller fastball is second to who?
Jacob Mizrowski.
That's it.
Like, that's it. That's really it.
Like, on the planet. Like, I'm not like on planet.
Yeah, no. I don't like, I do not think there's a player with a better fastball outside of Mizrowski. And you could make the argument his is better because he's condensed into a reliever role.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think Mason Miller is the best pitcher on the planet by a per inning basis.
Yeah.
And I actually don't think it's close.
And my whole point is, like, Mason Miller was acknowledging how incredible Ben Rice has been. So, flowers to your pick.
Yeah, and you know, I want to make one more point on Rice, and then we'll do our series preview. I understand that his second half has not been great, and I think there's a little bit of a letdown for some people, where it's like, this was a guy who his right tail outcomes on like May 1st included being the next Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that people kind of forget that that was like a 95th percentile outcome. Like, that was Aaron Judge being Aaron Judge was a 99th percentile outcome. Honestly, it's a 100th percentile outcome. So for Ben Rice to have shifted the needle from like 0% to being Aaron Judge to 0.001% of being Aaron Judge, or let's say 1% of being Aaron Judge, like, that is monumental. That's a huge shift, but it didn't mean he was going to be Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. Ben Rice is 9th in WRC plus this year. He's been a top 10 hitter in baseball. He's got 36 home runs in 137 games. He's going to hit 40 home runs in all likelihood with a 140 to 150 OPS plus.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like people, there's like a misconception of like what you expect the best hitter on your team to look like. I mean, he's the best hitter on 90% of teams.
He's like, how do I, it's interesting because like I kind of got like pushback for saying this. I was like, you know, the most overrated kind of hit player is like the 130 OPS plus, I don't play a position guy. I don't think that's Ben Rice, because I think Ben Rice is a better hitter than that. And I'll even say this, that kind of player is overrated, but that player is still good. Like, that's still a good baseball player.
It's a great baseball player.
Pete Alonso is going to put up like 35 to 40 wins above replacement potentially in his career. Let's say 35, because, you know, let's say 35, 10, about 10 more war. He's going to hit like 400 home runs. I think this is conservative. He's going to hit 400 to 450 home runs and have 35 to 40 war. If that's Ben Rice, like, that's an incredible outcome.
That's an
unbelievable outcome. That would be that is the kind of outcome that extends a championship window. That's a multi-time all-star. That's a guy who, you know, I don't think he's going to get there, but could in theory pop an MVP season. That's a guy who could pop a 6-win year or 5-win year in the midst of a bunch of 3.5 to 4.5 win years, while also being the number 3 hitter for your team and hitting 30 to 40 home runs every year. If that's Ben Rice, man, oh man, that's an incredible outcome. And I'll be honest, I still feel like there's room for him to get better. So, you know, with him and Spencer Jones, what I look at with those two are like, those are window extenders for me. If I can get Jones to continue to make progress offensively, if Rice continues to be this 35 to 40 homer guy with a 140 to 150 OPS plus, you know, like you've got your guys. You've got your guys. So, you know, yeah. That was a diatribe about Ben Rice being a little bit, like, I don't think he's underrated generally speaking. I just think, you know, there's a little bit of like, oh, wow, he's kind of been disappointing. It's like, yeah, in the second half, but like, he didn't hit 40 runs this year.
Well, disappointing.
Pretty even cool.
Disappointing to a fan base who's used to their best hitter being like one of the 5 best hitters on earth for the last 30 years.
We're going to get Mariano syndrome.
Yeah, bingo.
From Aaron Judge. I didn't think about it. We're going to get Mariano.
Think about it, Ryan. Like, in in your lifetime, the best hitter on the New York Yankees has been one of the 3 best hitters on the planet, generally speaking.
Yeah, and like before that, it was A-Rod.
Yeah,
like exactly. They had Alex Rodriguez to Aaron Judge. Exactly. They quite literally never had, since I was born, they've never had a Yankee team that didn't have Alex Rodriguez or Aaron Judge in the organization.
Bingo. And like, and then the other part of it is the second best hitter for all those years was either Derek Jeter or Mark Teixeira. Like, so it's like,
right. And also like guys who popped some like 150, 160 OPS mm-hmm. plus years. Giambi, Granderson popped the 40 plus homer year. Cano very quietly just like had a Hall of Fame caliber career, but the steroids are going to keep him out.
It's funny because like it wasn't quiet to me. The Robinson like, Cano, it wasn't quiet.
I think quiet in the sense that like people always go, who have they developed? And like everyone just kind of forgets that like a Hall of Famer was like, they had a Hall of Fame caliber second baseman kind of just exist
Here was Cano's OPS plus 2010, 141, 133, 148, 147, 142, and then 138. And in that midst also won a home run derby in electric fashion. So like, for me, it wasn't quiet. We're talking about MVP 3, 4, and 5 back to back seasons. So like,
also, like, Giancarlo Stanton. I kind of forgot Giancarlo Stanton, you know?
Like, literally, like, the best hitter for the Yankees has always been a top 3 hitter on the planet. They're again, like you said, there hasn't, like, Aaron Judge and A-Rod, while never official teammates, they play for the Yankees in the same season.
Yeah. And I think it's I'm not telling Yankee fans to lower their standards. It's not.
No, never.
I want to make sure that's not the message here. It's just that, like, Ben Rice is not Aaron Judge, but Ben Rice is really good. And that's cool. Ben Rice was a non-prospect in 2023.
Honestly, it's more about like, wow, like Aaron Judge is incredible is kind of where my head went.
It's a good point. That's a good point. And Aaron Judge might be back in this upcoming series. We don't actually know if he's going to be back, but it's possible he could be. They're going to play the Rockies. They have an off day tomorrow on Labor Day, which is weird. Yankees don't play on Labor Day. That's interesting. Cam Schlittler versus Gabriel Hughes, Will Warren versus Tomoyuki Sugano, Max Fried versus Ryan Feltner. The Rockies suck. They're the worst team in baseball. No, the Angels are the worst team in baseball. They're the second worst team in baseball. Chris, I'm going to be honest with you. They got to sweep these guys.
They got to sweep them.
Like, this isn't the, if they were going to Colorado today, maybe I could see like a dummy game on Monday, kind of like the last week's Monday game against the Angels,
mm-hmm.
where they didn't have an off day and they traveled cross country. You got an off day, man.
You have to.
Like, and you got your guys going. It's not like you got Elmer going. Like, Elmer went on Monday and then threw up a stinker.
Mm-hmm.
You got
a moment.
Ryan Feltner against, or sorry, you got Cam Schlittler versus Gabriel Hughes. Got to win that one. I know Will Warren hasn't been great this year. Tomoyuki Sugano sucks.
Bingo. Got to hit.
Got to win that
like,
one, too.
It's just funny because like then it's like, dang, like Walker Buehler kind of mowed it down.
Yes, but these are like different levels of ass. Because on top of that, See, the thing about the Padres is that Walker Buehler shuts you down for five innings, and then you know you're not going to get anything off their bullpen. If Tomoyuki Sugano shuts you down for five innings, you need to destroy this bullpen. You know who's their closer?
Ice Spice. No,
Jeffrey Jordan Schoen. Romano.
Jordan Romano.
Jordan.
That's Jordan's best friend.
I cannot say this enough times. If we get shut down by if Jordan Romano collects a save against the Yankees this week, failure of a series. Even if they take 2 or 3, I'm gonna be pissed. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be pissed. Chris, you got any exiting thoughts here?
I was just on the OPS tear, OPS plus tear, just real quick before I get out of here.
Yeah,
This season by Ben Rice would be the third best season of Jose Ramirez's career in terms of OPS plus.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I was getting into this with people online because they were like, Ben Rice is the exact kind of player to describe. I'm like, no, he's not. He's not. He's a better hitter than that. Like he just is. Now, if you're asking me, would I pay Ben Rice $300 million over 11 years right now? The answer is no. I'm not going to give him a $300 million extension. But like, there has to be a line between $300 million extension and like not being that good. There just has to be. There has to be a line. There has to be.
Maybe fourth best, depending on how this last series impacts the OPS.
Yeah. What? You're right. There is enough time. This is a nice series for him to maybe get it going, because I think those are all righties, I believe, as well.
Yeah, so we should.
You need to be throwing your A lineup and just like smacking across the field. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't care how they win. Like if they win on a walk off in the ninth inning in a 1-0 game or a game where they're trailing 2-0 and they won 3-2, I don't care. Just win the games.
Right.
I don't care how it looks. Maybe what happens is they get the third out and then the MLB umpire step in and give them the fourth out in the ninth inning.
Shout out,
man. Yeah. What do you think? It's legal now. I mean, they're basically West Michigan. Uh-huh. The Rockies are...
They are.
Let's be frank here. Yeah. What is the difference between the Rockies in West Michigan and the Yankees in Michigan? The difference is that the Yankees are a more historic franchise than Michigan. I'm sorry.
Way more historic.
It's not even close.
Yeah, not even close. It's not even...
Sorry, Jeter. Sorry, A-Rod. I know Jeter didn't go there, but that's like he likes to claim... Didn't he like technically go there?
I don't think he went there. I think it's just like his Kalamazoo pride.
Yeah. There was something... He has some tie that I think goes beyond location.
He does, but
though.
just real quick, do you know where Western Michigan is?
No, I don't actually.
Kalamazoo. So it's like Western. It's like me and my relationship with like Akron and Ohio State.
Is this the get back for the Jeter home run against the Orioles that the kid reaches over? Is that the get back? That's just revenge against. They had to pay for the sins. They had an outstanding debt.
Outstanding.
And they
debt.
Paid for it on national television.
Come to collect.
Shout out the Big Ten, bro. Shout out the Big Ten. That's what a PR cover up.
We love the Big Ten, dude. Yeah, dude. Literally after we record this episode, I'm about to put out a full episode about how terrible Michigan is too. So
which you guys can check out.
Yeah.
On Dead Air Sports.
Yeah, if you want.
Because I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna go get food after this. I'm gonna sit down and watch that.
Dude, I'm gonna post it and go watch the Ole Miss game. So.
Oh, I forgot. There's more football on tonight.
Yep.
So let's. Hey, man. I appreciate you hopping on.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you being here, and let's hope the Yankees win 3 straight in this beeping series, and that we see Aaron Judge back.
Yes.
Because if we do, and if we win 3 straight, I want to feel bad. Like, I want to feel like an outrage. I want to feel like an obnoxious Yankee fan after this week.
So do I.
I want to feel like an a-hole. I want to like say things. You know, I want to say things. But yeah, make sure you guys like, subscribe, turn on the notification bell, check out Fireside Yankees on all of your favorite social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and of course this YouTube page, Fireside Baseball. They have their podcast coming out Monday, I believe, or it might be Tuesday. I'm not sure.
Monday, Sam's recording schedule. Probably Tuesday actually with Sam. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll tentatively Monday or Tuesday, then they drop on Thursdays usually. So two times a week at the very least, check out for content there. Follow Chris Drew. Just follow him everywhere. Just follow Chris Drew. Follow Dead Air. Follow Chris Drew.
It's that time of year, man.
Great. I was gonna say greatness starts with a G, but it doesn't. Like I can't. I couldn't find a G in your name, but it works. It still works. Yeah. Chris Drew, there's a W there. Win starts with a W.
Big W.
All dubs. Let's go Yanks, man.
Always. Let's go Yanks, dude.
Fuck Michigan. Peace.